Blog Talk Radio.
And this marks another episode of This Week in Health Innovation. Welcome, everyone. I'm Greg Masters, your producer of the show and co-host. And joining me, as always, in the virtual booth, the bi-coastal virtual booth today, is my partner, Pat Sauber. Pat, are you still with us?
I am.
Excellent. Always got to check. Never know about Skype.
Yeah, glad to be here from representing the left coast.
As I'm on the right coast here at in Washington, D.C., in a moment of geek and irony, we've got the AHIP conference on Medicare, Medicaid, and dual eligibles that's going on just down the street from the Congress, who's trying to derail, defund, and otherwise torpedo the Affordable Care Act. So there's a bit of a contrast and irony here in D.C., but let's get to the program. We're real excited today. We're going to speak with one of my favorite gurus and futurists in the space of innovation. That'd be Matthew Holt. Matthew Holt is the co-chairman co-chairman of Health 2.0 and the publisher of and founder of the Healthcare Blog, which is rather popular blog in the space that many of us hold near and dear. So without going into a litany of Matthew's credentials and so forth, let's kick it over to Pat, and we're going to hear a little bit more about the Health 2.0 coming up in Silicon Valley here starting on Sunday. So Pat, with that as a background, let's turn it over to you, and let's hear what's on Matt's radar.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure I know what's on Matt's radar, since he has a little less than a week before the 6th annual fall conference starts. And so, Matthew, I, as usual, Health 2.0 is just this incredibly wild event that's so much fun and so much stuff is going on. Can you make an attempt to give us a little roadmap for what we can expect for this year's conference?
Of course. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Greg. Delighted to be here, back on the old Health Innovation TV. Hang on, you're not TV anymore, you're just network. I don't know. So you guys are evolving too quickly for me. Just to correct you mildly, Pat, this is the 7th annual conference. And considering you guys were both there at the first, and we've been there since the start,
it's
amazing we're still alive. Look, so the big change, the biggest change this year is that we've moved. We've moved from San Francisco, where we were outgrowing our space at the Hilton, down to Silicon Valley, the Santa Clara Convention Center. We actually have arrived there 1 year before the 49ers, who are building their stadium across the street. 49ers better start playing a bit better, or else nobody will attend to their stadium. That's a separate issue.
Yes, it is.
They were one play away from being Super Bowl champions last year. I don't know, the fact that they're 1-2 looking dismal is not good. Anyway, so let me tell you a bit about Health 2.0 this year. So we expanded the place in terms of, you know, we now have a much bigger exhibit hall, more room for more breakouts and more sessions and more random stuff going on that's going to be really great, including visits from groups from Finland, some interesting stuff with the XPRIZE Foundation and the Nokia Sensing X Challenge to tell you about. But also we expanded the time that we're spending. It used to be basically a pre-conference day and a half day and then 2 days of conference, and now we've expanded to having a total of 4 days just for the conference, with a whole pre-conference day on the Sunday, which includes conferences of Doctors 2.0, Patients 2.0, and a whole day of Health EDU Live, our education track. We're doing a combination with universities of Michigan and graduate school. So that's all day Sunday, sort of academic background to Health 2.0 and the new changes in digital health technology. And then the patients get together and the doctors get together in the afternoon. On the Monday, we start off officially at 2 o'clock, but before that we start with, we have a bunch of really great pre-conferences. We have a design workshop for the folks at MadPow. We have a a really cool session on survey data and health 2.0. We have employers 2.0, showing some latest trends for employers. We have a great panel put on by the folks at the Zero Divide about the underserved. And then we have the famous DC to VC, which is our friends at Morgan Fowler Ventures, Missy Krasner and Rebecca Lynn, putting that one on with us, which is a sort of cool startup showcase. And we haven't even started the whole thing yet, right? We're now at 2 o'clock on Monday, and the whole thing hasn't even started. And then we have 2.5 days of just lots and lots and lots of great demos, really cool speakers. We start off with a keynote from Gavin Newsom, the man behind all kinds of interesting things in California, in terms of a bit of, among although he's most famous for being one of the first on the gay marriage bandwagon. Gavin's also been very involved in technology and in health, so it's a great person to have at Health 2.0. The next one, we have Bruce Broussard, is the new CEO of Humana, giving me a keynote about how they're doing. And then in between, we have all kinds of great things regarding data for consumers, data about providers, all kinds of applications. And then I think we have, I'm right in saying, 17 or 18 breakouts this year, the most we've ever had. And I think we have something in the order of about 160 total demos and about another 50 speakers who are not in demos. So there's more than you could ever hope to see. And in addition, we have the folks from XPRIZE, who are, as you know, that they're running two challenges in life sciences. One of them is the Tricorder one from Qualcomm, which has been very well known. The one which got slightly less publicity, which is a really cool challenge, is the Nokia Sensing X Challenge. And this is about creating basically laboratory-grade sensors that can be worn on the body or used at home. And they'll be having their – I think the better part of a $2.25 million prize. And they'll be having their award – they'll be having live judging of their own plus crowdsourced judging. You can go and see all the entrants in the exhibit hall. And then on Wednesday morning, they'll be giving out the prize on stage and having a really cool award ceremony on the main stage. So lots of other stuff as well to tell you about, but that's enough to keep you busy.
Well, it kind of makes me tired already. Excited and tired at the same time.
Hasn't even started yet.
And you have a pre-con, and then you have another pre-con, and you don't have any post-conference activities?
There's a little bit of post. There's a thing called Matchpoint West, which is our introductory thing, which is a sort of more private setting between small companies and large companies meeting each other. There is one very important pre-conference thing which I didn't mention, which is on the Saturday and Sunday, not actually at Santa Clara, but actually up in San Francisco, we have our biggest Codathon of the year. As you probably know, Health 2.0 runs Codathons for developers. In fact, Pat, I saw you at one that we ran for the Money Healthcare Foundation.
You did indeed. We got an honorable mention.
well done to your team.
Yeah.
This one, I think we have a pretty big crowd coming up, is happening. It's called Power to the Patient. It's about patient engagement, and it's happening in San Francisco on Saturday and Sunday, and you can see that on our website. And I am desperately looking at the website trying to figure out where it is. Oh, no! It's at Yetizen, which is at 540 Howard Street, down south of Market in San Francisco. Yetizen is a work lab. So looking forward to seeing people at that Codathon. And that's, of course, free to attend, and there's, I think, $10,000 in prizes available for the winners of winning teams in that one.
Well, fantastic. So one of the things that comes to mind as I'm talking to you, Matt, because I'm on your mailing list, so I'm always getting the Health 2.0 events that are in other countries. It seems to me we've gone from your annual event to now almost wall-to-wall events throughout the year. Tell us a little bit about your international activities as well. And then also I'd love to hear where are you guys going next? Because it does seem that you're continuing to provide new sort of events, and you're getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, well, that may or may not be a good thing. So broadly speaking, we do three things, right? We do our conferences, and I'll talk about the international conferences in a second. We also run these challenges, so the Codathons, which are the live part of the challenges are part of our challenge business, and we have a very significant business running challenges mostly for other people. We do run challenges for the ONC, but also we're doing them currently for Robert Johnson Foundation, Shah Pharmaceuticals. We're about to announce a new one with Dignity Health and Box. A bunch of new ones will be announced, but basically that at any one time we have four or five ongoing challenges running. These are in general 3 to 6 to 9 month application challenges. Some of them are multi-stage. We just ran a very successful one with Allscripts to help them build new sort of applications to come onto their new store, which will be featured in the Health Guru conference. Funny how those two things go together. And we will also be doing more and more on the market intelligence, market research. In fact, this year, for the first time, we're putting out the annual Health 2.0 report, which will basically be an assessment of all the companies that we looked at, chose or didn't choose or whatever, for the conference, and giving a sense of what is changing in terms of the trends behind Health 2.0. We've been doing a lot of research work on that, and we've actually been putting a big database together behind the scenes that may or may not be released at some point, depending on how we figure it out. But you asked about the international conferences, so let me tell you quickly how that's playing out. We have now conferences most continents. So we have Europe. It's actually going to be the fourth European conference is coming up. It's going to be in London. This is actually going to be on November the 18th and 19th. There'll also be there's also going to be a Codafon before that, looks likely, on the weekend. That's a Monday, Tuesday on the weekend. And then we're very excited. The next one is going to be in Latin America. First time we've done this, working, that's going to be December the 6th or 7th in Sao Paulo, Brazil, working with a group down there to put on, there's a lot of excitement and interest about health technology in Latin America. So working with a great group down there, putting that together. And then going into early 2014, we're going to have the third conference in India, Health 2.0 India. And that date is, I think, February the 8th and 9th. And the India one is run in conjunction with our friend James Matthews, who many people have seen at Health 2.0 over the years, and he's actually going to be at the main full conference running an international panel on the Wednesday afternoon. So what going to the U.S. and internationally is that we now have about 60 chapters, and these are local groups that meet up. In fact, we were down at one. We were late because my babysitter didn't show up, but the three of us went down there together. What was it? last week, to one of the bigger local chapters, which is Silicon Valley. But in fact, we also have chapters in all kinds of places, including Accra, Ghana, Nairobi, Kenya, Fukushima, Japan, all kinds of places, right? But a lighter-weight local version of Health 2.0 in Chicago. So all kinds of different stuff going on, and it's really great that, you know, in some ways we kind of, you know, kind of lit a spark that set a fire that was kind of already ready to rage, or what happened. But we're delighted that so much are so interested in looking at new types of health technology to change healthcare and to change healthcare experiences. So we're very excited.
Yeah, so it's really it is really interesting how much is going on and how much has happened in the 7 years that Health 2.0 has been having their conferences. I think back to some of the organizations that were at your first conference, and some of them are actually big companies now. But as I peruse your agenda, one thing really strikes me, and you can tell me you've been doing it all along and I just missed it, but it seems like a lot of the big guys are showing up on the podium for Health 2.0 this year. I see Peter Tippett from Verizon. I see the folks from Alir, the folks from Health Dialogue. Is tell us about that. Is that purposeful?
Yeah.
Is
so what's happening? Forget our conference for a moment. What's happening is that there's a huge technology shift going on. The people who previously were in healthcare enterprises, and I mean by that, I mean big health plans, big hospital systems, provider systems, and drug companies, whatever, they have been using enterprise software. as you think about it, enterprise-level software and healthcare means EMR systems, means claims transaction systems. These things are tended to be enterprise-level software, and what had needed to what's been going on outside healthcare, outside, is that all the stuff that we've been featuring in Health 2.0, which is the cloud-based, you know, when you call it cloud, SaaS, mobile, multi-screen, on-platform, whatever you call all that mix of stuff, which is the new technology, which basically came from the consumer world back in the Web 2.0 days of nearly a decade ago now. I think, you know, obviously Google plus MySpace plus Facebook plus, you know, all these now infrastructure, Salesforce, all these infrastructure companies, which are developing these new SaaS-based tools. This is now all coming into healthcare. So what's happening is that the tools that the smaller companies, you know, you're now starting to see all of these small companies that have been established, you're now starting to see a number of those exiting or being purchased by these big enterprise players. So I would take a good example is Allscripts, which has been a big standard company in the EMR space. But it's not a company like Jardogs, which is a software service based patient portal type company, but also opened up its platform to allow to allow basically a kind of app store type approach, and they've just done that partly with our help. But to me, that's a sort of technological shift. So by definition, a lot of the players who are either from big technology companies or big organizations like the Aetnas and the Kaisers and the Mayo Clinics or whatever are starting to show up at Health 2.0 because there really isn't that kind of distinction between the enterprise on the one hand and the wacky, you know, consumer stuff now. It's kind of all coming together. Now, if you actually pursue on from there, what you're starting to see then is that the big guys, quote unquote, are starting to figure out how do they open up and work with these smaller companies. You saw it from some of the health plans last year, especially Aetna. This year, United, you're going to hear a bit more about it from Humana. But even, you know, believe it or not, Epic, which is obviously, you know, the dominant player in large enterprise EMR software, just opened up last week at their user conference, just announced something called Open.Epic, which is going to be a way that other smaller players can build on their system. So
that was going to be my next question to you. Yeah. I mean, that really is a landmark that Epic has opened up their API.
Well, I'm not sure they've opened up their API yet, but think about it. What's going on is their customer base, which are the providers, have got to reach out to consumers and clinicians in a whole new way. And the way they're going to do that is with all the kinds of tools and services that have been showing at Health 2.0 over the years, and, you know, using all these different platforms and also using these different devices, whether they be the iPad, the tablet, but also things that are tracking consumers. We're going to spend a lot of time at Health 2.0 talking about tracking tools, like the Fitbits and the Jawbones, the Withings of the world. We have many of them on stage. I don't think we have Jawbone this year, but we do. We have folks from Ginger.io, we have folks from Withings, folks from Fitbit, you know. So, yeah, it's not practical for any one company to build all of this stuff. It just isn't. So if you need to get this stack, we'd argue that it is, to get information about what consumers are doing and make stuff that's more easy for, you know, clinicians to use, you're going to have to open up your system as a big platform like an Epic and figure out some way to integrate it. So I actually got in trouble with Carl Dvorak at Epic a couple of years back. In fact, last year, for sort of, I thought I was praising them for coming to a hackathon to open up their system and work with other people. He took it the wrong way, but the answer is that actually I was right. You know, they do have to open it up. And by the way, they're going to have to start providing data out, because if you look at the issues from, you know, if you look at the mandates for meaningful use, Stage 2, going into 2014, you're going to have to be able to, data has got to be able to be viewed, downloaded, and be transmittable. View, download, transmit. In fact, I was just at the, to finish that thought, that means that, you know, for right now, for instance, my daughter, I can view into her record at SADA on Epic, but I can't download it yet. But pretty soon I have to be able to download it, and therefore, you know, using the blue button, which is now becoming a sort of a movement rather than a technology standard, using Blue Button, we're going to be able to take that data and put it into other applications. So I think it's a very exciting world, and those big guys can't ignore it anymore. They've got, you know, we've gone from the fringes to the mainstream. which is a pretty frightening thought.
Well, what I love about it is here we are, you know, what, just a few days away from the marketplaces that are a part of the ACA going live, and we are going to see the ACA enacted. So a form of health reform, you could say, namely focused on insurance reform, but nevertheless, something that I don't know about you, Matt, but I look at this and say, I didn't think it was going to happen in my lifetime. We've been through so many attempts to have reform, and then they failed. But it seems to me, as I talk to you and I look at all the stuff that's going on and the fact that the big players are being brought in, this is the real reform of health care as opposed to health care insurance. And it's going to fundamentally change not just how you know, patients interact, but also how providers interact. And I wonder if you could put on your, you know, futurist hat again for a few minutes and just tell me what you think. How is this going to impact workforce issues and other issues to do with the way physicians practice?
Well, let me, you know, we're not ignoring the healthcare marketplace piece. We have the folks from California and also Kaiser, Xerox, who are building the infrastructure for the Nevada Exchange and working out there in Kentucky, and also the folks from eHealth, which is the biggest private online marketplace, broker marketplace, and Get Insured, which is another competitor of those. Funnily enough, eHealth and Get Insured have both just signed deals with the federal exchange, not yet with the regional ones, the California one, so that you can sign up on their marketplace and go off and hit the federal data hub and get the information about the subsidies back, which means that individuals who are now going to be told they have to go and buy healthcare are going to be able to find different routes to that federal exchange and also eventually, I think, to the state exchanges. So I wouldn't dismiss the impact of insurance reform. I think it's huge. It's a huge, you know, everyone knows about the individual mandate. No one knows about the fact that, you know, the government is going to be giving you a big subsidy to buy care if you're a relatively low income. There's going to be a lot of chopping and changing, a lot to be figured out. But it's a huge change on the insurance side. But the biggest change overall is that in order to, you know, on the insurance side, and we're going to, in order to make this affordable, the networks have been narrowed. So when you're like a Cover California, which is the insurance exchange in California, they've gone out and negotiated with plans, insurers, and the insurers have negotiated with provider groups and got better rates. And what they've, you know, basically what they've done is they've done what kind of what you the two of you would recognize from the old managed care days, of they've done a more restrictive network. And theoretically, that should provide cheaper and potentially better care, but obviously that's going to change. That's going to figure stuff out. At the same time as this is going on, right, you have these networks which are going to have more dedicated patients coming to them. At the same time, we have the ACO legislation or the ACO regulations, the Accountable Care Organizations, and they are, you know, basically at risk for taking, and there's a lot of back and forth among those, but they're at risk for taking care of populations. Now, I'm not saying the regulations have been written the way I would do it if I had a blank slate, but given that it had to go through our Congress, you know, it's amazing we got anything out, as you said, Pat. But what's happening is that those two combined forces, the insurance regulation on the one side and the Accountable Care Organization regulations on the other hand, have basically pushed the market so that the plans are trying to figure out how they can integrate down into the providers, and either by providing with technology or actually in some cases taking over providers directly, the way that has happened with, say, Blue Cross of California and for Blue Cross and Camel. And on the other hand, you're seeing the provider organizations figure out how they can, you know, effectively go at risk and start taking, you know, and start using the tools of technology to manage populations and put together, you know, and basically make their own, the affiliated doctors and clinicians working with them work much more closely. So you've got this huge change going on, and we've got an entire panel about this on the Wednesday morning, which is called Big Data. It's called Big Data Tools and Applications for Transforming Care. And basically, it's two halves. The first half is all about data and what can you learn from data around bundle pricing and, you know, who you should be looking after and how you should be doing it better, and can we get the data tools to figure out what to do. And the second half is all about how are we going to transform care organizations. And we actually have Lloyd Dean, who's the pretty well-known CEO of Dignity Health, used to be Catholic Healthcare West, who's a sort of confidant of Kathleen Sebelius and many others in the healthcare reform process, to talk about what that's meant for a diversified mission-based organization like Dignity Health. We also have Farzad Mostashari in his last ever appearance as ONC director, talking about the impact of that on the impact of technology on delivery systems, and a bunch of very other exciting stuff. Just on that panel, we have some folks from Evolent, who are one of the companies who are building these systems to help with this, and a whole bunch of other people playing in the space. So that's going to be a fascinating and long panel on the Wednesday morning.
And so the last piece, so this is fantastic, great overview about what we can expect from changes in the insurance market, from changes in the delivery system. But for me, I think about Health 2.0 and all of this innovation and these companies who are designing, you know, tools that will allow patients to do it themselves a lot more than they have in the past, to be empowered a lot more than they have in the past, to be engaged. Everybody's, you know, talking about patient engagement. I'm not sure that I know that anybody's actually figured out what patient engagement really is, but all of these tools are out there. And the sum total makes me think that once again, for physicians, I'm putting my physician hat on, there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. And, you know, a really good example is we were talking to Daniel Kraft last week about exactly this issue. And he was pointing out that specialties the main thing they do is pattern recognition, like dermatology and radiology, are probably in for a rough go going forward. Any comments on that?
Yeah, let me interrupt you because I want to say, you know, yes. Could I disagree with Daniel Kraft? Of course not. But let me tell you three things that are really especially interesting for that. First off, I mentioned the XPRIZE folks, the Nokia Sensing X Challenge, 12 teams building completely new, you know. Think about the impact of if you have a laboratory quality device that can sense you, the impact of that. Secondly, the very last panel, David Ewan Duncan does a great job with this, has got some really cool stuff on it, including some gaming tools and technologies developed by a really interesting guy called Adam Ghazali at UCSF, which apparently are also they're gaming tools, but they're also therapeutic tools for seniors with brain challenges. An amazing couple of companies called Brain Control and Psyops on that as well. And then we have a group of folks from South Carolina, the Iron Yard Accelerator in South Carolina, who are each showing 10 new companies. And that's just sort of around about. So there's so much going on.
And that Matt, is going to have to be the last word. Thank you, Pat. We're going to do this again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another update in this Countdown to Health 2.0. This is Greg Masters for Pat Salver and Matt Holt saying bye now, and check us out tomorrow morning, 10 Pacific time.